you guys want, you can go. I don't think I'm going to sing. If I do, if you're happy up here, I'm good there too. Wherever you guys are happy with. I might sing. You never know. You just never know. We already had a shout. We might have a song. Who knows? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, man, He's good. You know, if you're not excited about God, you want to get excited. Because it's when you get excited that you begin to seek Him. Not His stuff, not what He gives, but Him. Because you're excited about Him. I remember when we first started looking for Him. You know, that was when our life changed. Is when we began to look for Him. We needed a lot of things. But we quit looking for what we needed. You know, because you get caught up looking for what you needed. And all of a sudden you get it. And if you weren't excited about God, you may not come back. Right? And generally speaking, you won't get it. So, right? He didn't give it to us. He didn't. If we'd got it, I'd have spent it all on something stupid. Be guaranteed. He knew. He was a good God. He was a good Father. He loved me enough not to give it to me when I couldn't handle it. Amen? I'm thankful to this day that He did that for me. Amen? But you got to get excited. You got things of God have to excite you. Being around people that serve God. I was talking to a minister yesterday, and you know it was supposed to be a 5-minute conversation. It ended up being a 55-minute conversation because we got excited about what was going on, and we just kept talking and sharing. And you know when you do that, there's excitement in that, and that should happen all over the church, all the time. You should call somebody in the middle of the week. And expect a 5-minute phone call to turn into a 55-minute phone call. Amen? Because the goodness of God should excite us. People say, well, there's some bad things that happen. There's no bad things that override God's goodness. Amen? Just a touch of God's goodness could override anything that you thought was bad. Amen? And turn it in an instant. Amen? But it's when we began to seek Him, you know, and we've been going through these faith adventures and we're still kind of there. And when we began to seek Him and look for Him, we wanted more of Him. We wanted to know more about Him. You know, we'd grown up in church some. We had grown up around my mom, which was like living in church. But yet, we didn't know. You know, we could say God was good and we wouldn't say He was bad, but we hadn't tasted. We hadn't partook of the true goodness ourselves. And so we didn't have the excitement. We just had the ability to be excited, but we had to do it for ourselves. At some point in our life, we had to get excited. We had to look and say, wait a second, He really is good. It's not just mom telling me anymore. I can see it. It's kind of like what Mrs. Moore talked about with Job. I say, you know what? I've heard about you, but now I see you. Amen? Amen? And when you begin to see His goodness, when you begin to believe on a daily basis that something good not only could, but is quite possibly and should be happening to you today.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Because that's the God you serve. And when you follow that path, when you follow Him, your good God, trusting Him, then you're going to lie down in green pastures. Right? Where He leads us is good.
Yeah.
Right? If somebody says, well, I wasn't in green pastures today, better look at who you followed. Right? Because he can prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. You know, he didn't have, you know, you could say, well, everything's brown. And then you say, oh, wait, there's a green spot. That's where God's going. That's where God's going. Amen?
Amen.
He's only leading you to good places. He's going to get you beside the peaceful waters, the still places. But you're going to have plenty of water. You're going to have plenty of grass. And if you're a smart sheep, you won't follow anyone else. Right?
Yeah.
How many know how long a sheep can last without following the shepherd? Not. They can't. They literally, a sheep will die because they can't make it on their own. They will choose poorly. How many have been a sheep that chose poorly? Right? I have. And I've been a sheep that chose wisely. Wisely's better. Wisely's better. And when you choose wisely, you get excited. You get excited about what he's got going on. You get excited not about what he's got for you just, but what he's going to do through you. What you're going to get to have the opportunity to do, who you're going to have the opportunity to bless and love, and who you're going to be able to tell about him. Because when you're excited about something, God, people ask you. If you're excited about God, people will come to you and say, what are you so excited about? Yeah. Whew, what's like opening the door and letting the flood come in right there? You're getting ready to hear it. You're going to hear the whole thing. I mean, that would have been like asking Paul what happened to him. You got to hear that whole testimony every time somebody would ask him. There's the testimony. I was on the road to Damascus. Glory to God. Why? Because he was excited about the things of God. And that's what we want to do. We want to be excited to be followers of God. Open our Bibles to where we've been, Romans 8, 14. We're still talking about being led. Being led. Because if you're being led, you're following. Right? If you're not following, you can't possibly be being led. Right? I mean, the two have to go together. You could literally read this verse, for as many who are following the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right? Because that's what it says. So you'd have to be following to be led. And so we want to be led by love, by wisdom, by patience, by kindness. We want to be led by the very Spirit of God, by goodness, right? If you're being led by God and you come into a situation and your mind thinks something bad, then you know you're not being led by the Spirit of God. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you come to a situation and God gives you compassion and he gives you love and he shows you goodness and he gives you patience and he allows you to show his kindness in a situation, and that's being led by the Spirit of God, right? If you're being led by the Spirit of God, you pull somebody off a cliff, but you'll put them on the right path. Amen. It's not just about taking somebody out; it's about showing them a way. Amen. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And being led by the Spirit of God, you know, how many hear better from God today than you heard 10 years ago? Yeah, me too. Me too. Why? Because I practice it more, right? I'm looking for it more. I wake up in the morning wanting to hear it. Amen? Because, you know, and we talked about this, but when we received Ramsey as a three-day-old baby, the first thing we thought was not a leading. It was crying, right? Kim's thinking about weddings and prom dresses and college and cars, and I'm thinking about tomorrow. I'm like, how in the world are we going to even get food for tomorrow? Thank God all these people gave us presents. She can eat at least that long. Right? Why? Because we had gotten that far. We'd gotten our faith had gotten us there. But now we had to get on with that faith and go on. Amen? Because the faith got you the baby. The faith will take care of the baby. Amen? And the faith, and because we got, by faith, he helped us with our faith. A lot of grace and mercy, but our faith. It probably really was a mustard grain seed. It was that small, but it got us there. And it put us on a road trusting him. Because now we knew God. We had seen God. We had experienced his goodness in our life on a level that we had never experienced it before. And we had seen that love. And he began showing us that love again through this little baby. He began showing us his fatherness. And he began showing us parenthood, if you will. And he also began giving us the faith and the trust that it was going to be okay. It didn't happen that night. But in the days to come, we began to believe what we never thought was possible could be possible. And that's what faith does. Faith changes your whole inside, and it makes you know that what was not possible before is now possible. And it changes everything you see is now possible. Right? When you believe, things become possible. When you know, it's like David. David is going up against Goliath, but he already believed because God had helped him whip the bear. He'd helped him whip the lion. So he had already gained trust and grew to such a place that now Goliath was nothing. Right? The Lord helped me. I trust him because I trusted him when the bear came. I trusted him when the lion came, and he helped me, and I slew both of them, and you will be no different. Why? Because God didn't change. But David's faith grew. David's faith grew from the lion to the bear to the giant. Amen? And what wouldn't have been possible before the lion was now possible. What wouldn't have been possible before the bear was now possible. Amen? It changes. Faith in God changes your outlook. Amen? It's not that we can just go on, well, God loves me, everything good will happen. God does love you. But it's our choices to believe Him and trust Him. Look at, in fact, we talked about this just a little bit last week, but look at Mark 10:21. This is the story of the rich young ruler. And he came to God. He came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, you know, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And he told him, you know the commandments. And he went through that. And he said, yeah, all these I've done. And I've observed all these from my youth. And Jesus said, Jesus, beholding him, and this is very specific, and I kind of brought it out last week, but I want to see it again. Beholding him, loved him. So the love of God was standing in front of him. The very love that you cannot, that will not fail, that deserves all of our trust. All of our trust in this love, because it has never failed and it is unfailing. It will never fail. And he, beholding him, loved him and gave him the answer. Gave him the answer. He said, one thing you lack. There's one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, and come take up your cross and let me lead you. Follow me. Amen? In other words, you're not being be led by the Spirit of God. You're being led by your righteousness by obeying the laws. You have a righteousness of your own, and you need to get rid of that and get my righteousness. Receive the righteousness that I give. Amen? And he said, you need to follow me. All that love, right? How many would say God loved that boy right there? But yet, it didn't change a thing in his life. Because why? Because we still have to do, as Rick said, our part. We still have to receive that love. We have to trust in the sayer. We have to trust that word. If we don't trust the word of God, we'll never follow him. You know, if God gives you a word and you say, well, you know, I tried that before. I don't know. See, that's not possible. Possible is not a 50-50 proposition. When things by faith become possible, they are 100% sure. Right? If impossible means impossible, can't happen, possible means can't happen. In fact, it means must happen. Glory to God. So when things become possible with God, it's no longer a question. Amen? It's like when Kim was dealing with cancer. And when she was, when we got that word and received that direction and we stepped out, we never had a day where we said, I don't know if this is working or not. We never had a day where we doubted. We never had an uncertain step. Glory to God. And I'm talking about somebody who's going through chemo, doesn't feel good. She still knows she's coming out. Now, she might have had some moments where I don't know about all this. But she knew at the end of it, she was going to win. It's like when the business wasn't doing well. You know what? I had payment faith. I had favor faith. You know, I believed that no matter what, God could get me enough money to get me through one more week. That's all I had. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't looking past a week because you are where you are. You know, I can say, well, I'm believing for enough money to get through this whole year. You are not. You want to be believing for enough money because you don't want to have to think about it anymore. But if you don't want to have to think about it anymore, go where you are. That's where you don't have to think about it anymore. Where we were at that moment with this medical procedure, with God working through and using the tool, then we were fully certain that this was possible, that she would come out whole and entire. Amen? I never worried. I didn't have a sleepless night. And I sleep good. So when I say I didn't have a sleepless night, when I go to sleep, it's gonna, big thunder don't wake me up. You know, I don't know. That's why I'm glad that God gave us authority over the weather, because these little tornado alarms that go off, that ain't waking me up. No, I'm going to sleep. Why? Because God gives us peaceful sleep. I want peaceful sleep. I want to get up and feel good. Amen? But that is the possible he's talking about. It's so possible that now you don't think about it anymore. You don't concern yourself anymore. When you're in faith, it's so possible you already have it. You're just walking through life and here it comes. Amen? But when it doesn't matter how much he loves you, how many answers he gives you, if you don't do your part, if you don't believe him, if you don't trust him, if you don't, and it's not just about getting your answer met, getting your need met. God's a need meeting God, but you're seeking the need meeting God, not the need. Amen? We got to seek God. We got to be excited about what he's doing. We got a desire for him to use us on a regular basis, because there's nothing more exciting than leading somebody to the Lord. There's absolutely nothing more exciting than somebody saying, hey, can you pray for me? Nothing more exciting than that. Nothing more exciting than being used by God. Amen? And I'm not talking about in church. The whole choir's in the church, right? It's people outside that need Jesus. You're going to get a few people come in the church that need Jesus, but it's the people that you meet every day. They may go to church somewhere, but they're just like me and Kim. They never have seen and experienced God for themselves. They just go to church the same way the rich young ruler did, because that's what you're supposed to do. I don't want to serve God because I'm supposed to. Supposed to? Is that a word? It is. It's S-P-O-Z-E-T. Supposed to. Oh. Supposed to. It's one word. All right? There's your new word for the month. Write it on your calendar. It'll be better than any of those other words you got anyway. Right? I don't want to just serve God because I'm supposed to. Right? I want to serve God because I desire that relationship. I desire that time. I desire to move forward. I desire to go from how in the world will we get her a car or a prom dress or graduation to, and I mean, nevertheless, college. Yeah. College. Right? People say, well, there's student loans for that stuff. Yeah, there is. But you know what? If you start when they're young, building your faith. And see, that's what God did for us. He gave us that three-day-old baby, and he gave us trust. He said, I got you this. I can keep going. And we kept growing. We only were where we were, but we kept growing. We didn't believe for the money for college the next week. Right? But we did have formula. Right? We did have diapers. And our bills were paid. Remember, we had payment faith. You know, people say, well, that's not good. It's better than not making your payment faith. It's where we were. Right? You got to, you know, Mrs. Moore said it and Brother Moore both said it. If you don't start where you are, you'll stay where you are. And it's, you can't start from where you aren't. It's not even possible. You can't say, well, I ain't starting from here. I'm starting. That's what we try to do with our faith. We say, I don't want to start here where I'm at today. I want to start where I want to be. You have to get to where you want to be before you can start from there. So you got to start from where you're at. And if your faith is to make payments, then put your faith out there. I had faith that I could have favor with bill collectors because I talked to them every day. And I did. I purposely talked to them every day. I never wanted them to be worried that I was hiding from them. Every day when I walked into the office, I checked and saw what was due, what we needed to get done to get more done later, because you had to pay this bill to get more. Right? If you wanted carpet for this job, you had to pay for the carpet for that job. Amen? And so I had faith that I would have favor, and I did every week. But that's where my faith was. That's where my faith was. It hadn't grown to where it was going to be. But I had to start where I was. Amen? And God wanted me to get way beyond that. But he knew I had to start where I was. He knew what, God knows exactly where our faith is, so trying to fool him won't work. Right? Now, when you say, well, you know what? I know that's what they said, but I'm just going to believe this. Well, you're just going to believe it how? Right? I mean, people saying they're just going to believe. I did it. What that is a sign of is saying, I don't want to deal with it, so I'm just going to believe. Right? And neither one of those statements are good. You need to deal with it from where you're at and believe God to get you through and get you to the next place. Just like he got us the baby, just like he got Kim through chemo and all the other stuff and came out entire. You know? And those are good things. I remember when Ramsey, we actually built our house down here, and Ramsey had to change schools. And the school that she went to wasn't, we couldn't go there from where we live. So we got in faith to get to where she could go to school where she wanted to go to school. Because that's where all her friends were. And we actually had a good peace about that. And so we actually, by different circumstances, somebody gave us the ability to do it. And then God gave us the money that it cost to do it. Now remember, we didn't have extra money. Extra money was not something that we, oh yeah, we got that. No problem. Her school cost, everything she did in school from the time she was a eighth grader till the time she graduated with a master's degree cost money. Every bit of it. And you know what it costs? A lot of money. I'm just going to go right out and tell you so you can get prepared. Because God will take care of you. Amen? He will. It'll be there. Amen? You don't have to worry whether John's going to have money. Let's start believing him now. And he's going to grow you. And you'll get it. Amen? You'll have it when you need it. If you start growing from where you're at right now. Amen? And as we got that money, what? It gave us more trust. We just defeated the lion. We got the lion. The lion's down. And now she's a senior, and here comes the bear. And the bear's big. College, and I remember we went and looked at schools with her. And I'm going to give you parents some tip from me. You don't have to do it this way, but if you're looking at schools, find the one you want and shut up.
There you go.
Don't tell your kid that's where you're going, because that's like telling them, vote for something else. We never told her. We saw the one we wanted. We saw the one that moved her heart. She didn't say it, but we saw it. And we saw when we were there, it felt good in our heart. Unfortunately, it was an expensive college, which seems like all of them are. I didn't know that at that time. And so we had, you know, they have, like I said, they have student loans. And people say, well, would you have taken out a loan for her to go to college? Yeah, I probably would have. But God had grown us. He'd grown us in 18 years. He had shown us how you can pay to get her into the school that where I want her in high school. And he had given, he'd helped us all the way along, bought a prom dress, right? The big one she was worried about, bought her a car, right? Bought her a couple of cars. I've bought her a lot of cars by now. Well, she's bought her own now, so thank God. You know, paid for all this money to go to college. Let's make some money now. Yeah, but God helped us. Because why? Because we're following him. We're trying to be led. We're trying to hear. I'm not saying we're people and we missed it a few times and we had to back up, start again. Because why? Not because God didn't love us. We needed to take every step. Because why? He's taking you somewhere. Every faith victory, every time you get to the end and there's the victory, you grow. You grow. You're at a new place. You're up here and you were here and now you're up here. And God's trying to get you way up here. Why? Because He wants you truly to believe all things are possible. Amen? Because we haven't grown up that way. We've grown up with sometimes it do, sometimes it don't. Right? And you know what? You can believe God, but you just don't know. And you know why? Because we've said things like, well, I'm going to believe. Well, we need to stop that. We need to stop that. We need to find out what we're going to believe. We need to find out who our God is. We need to get to that place where we hear that word. And the minute we hear it, we step out by faith and we believe that it's impossible we could fall. Now everything's possible. Why? Because it's impossible that it can't happen. It's completely possible that it can happen, and it is completely impossible that it can't happen. Amen? And that's the place you're trying to get to. That's where you're faith. It's like Peter when Jesus said, let's just look at that actually. Let's just look at that. How about that? It's in the Bible. I saw it just the other day. Peter. Matthew 14. They see him walking across the water. They think it's a ghost. It's not a ghost. They say it's Jesus. Peter says, well, if it is you, Jesus. Matthew 14, 28. If it is you, Jesus, bid me to come. What's he saying? Give me a word. If it's you, Lord, give me a word. Give me something to follow. Give me something to follow. Because if it's you, I know I can do it. Amen? And of course, Jesus, because it is him, he really couldn't say anything else. But he gave him word. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the boat, what was he doing? He was following the direction of the Lord. He was being led. He was being led. And when he had been led to come down out, because why? Because now, because Jesus said this, he has faith, and now it's possible. Not before he stepped on the water, it was possible. He wasn't saying, let me see if this is possible. No, it was already possible. That's when you know you're in faith, when it's already possible. Not when you're waiting to see if it's possible, when it's already possible. Because it's possible in here before it happens out here. And see, in Peter's heart, it was possible now. And he didn't go like this. He went like this. And he's walking on the water. Glory to God. Just like Jesus. He's walking on the water. No, any of y'all ever done that? No. No, why? Because you don't believe. You ain't got a word. You know, too many people, I've had people tell me they tried it. I'm like, you didn't have a word from God. Right? You'd had to have the only reason Peter could do it is he had a word from God and his faith followed. And when his faith followed, the possibleness of it became true. Amen? Why? Now, he said it, I can trust it. He said it, I can trust that I can step on that water. Amen? He said it, we can get through this chemo. He said it, we can raise this baby. He said it, we'll have a car, we'll have a school, we'll have a college. He said it. He said it. We can step out on it and we can walk. Amen? And we've all done what Peter did. He's walking. And we've done it, right? You guys know it? You've been walking, you're in faith, and all of a sudden you look around and say, wait a second. This can't be right. Well, that's called double-mindedness. What's happening? What Jesus actually said is, oh, ye of little faith, why'd you think twice? Why'd you think twice? Why were you double-minded? That's what he said. He said, why did you doubt? Why did something take precedence over what I said, and the possible now became impossible? Why? Because in the natural, it was already impossible. It didn't become possible until by faith he received that word from God and possible happened. And he was standing on possible. He was standing on possible. And so all the devil, the only weapon he's got now is to make it look impossible. And we've all been there. And the devil's going to try it again. Next time you step out on faith, you're going to be out there walking on the water and he's going to say, you can't do that. Look at the size of that bill. Look, that baby's going to need more than you ever can imagine. And college costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right? You know what that's called? Step off your faith. Right? It's really no different than what the Israelite children said once they crossed. It took every bit of faith we had to get through the Red Sea. Right? To get to the baby. And the minute we got there, they're like, now we got it. How are we going to raise her? Well, the God that guides will provide. Amen? If he took you somewhere, if you followed him, be assured there's provision in that land, in that place, in that direction. Amen? And if he puts you there, if he got you to that place, there's a way. There is a way. And not only is there a way, it is the way. It's the only way to succeed. Amen? And I remember when we got to college. And we saw the one we want. We found out how much it was. We still had payment faith. Yeah. Right? You know, at that point, we had never paid off a car. We're only talking 15 years ago. No, not even that much. 10 years ago. No. About 8 years ago, maybe. It's not been that long ago. You guys think, well, Dave's had a paid off car forever? No. Remember, I grew up where you paid for cars until they got old and you need a new one, and you went and traded and you got a new one with a new payment. It wasn't even a big deal. That's what you did. You know, I don't know how you guys grew up, but we grew up in a house, you know, you need to establish your credit, right? You need to establish your credit because you're going to need credit to get a car. So maybe you need to get a little credit card and get that started. Most dangerous thing ever happened to us. Man, oh man, we got a little credit card for this little store called Newman's, and man, we pumped it up. Woo! We went shopping. We got t-shirts and shorts and outfits, and man, we did it all. Woo! Why? Because we're rich. We got this little card. Tells us we can do anything. Right? Even back then, it was 21-something interest. We had never had credit before. We didn't know anything about that. All we knew is we could get some new clothes, shop like kings, carry big bags out of the store. Man, we did it. We sure established some credit, all right. Bad credit. When we went shopping for a car after that, they said, well, sure, we can get you one, but the interest rate's 150,000%. That may be an exaggeration, but that's what it seemed like. Because you know what? You can borrow money no matter what your credit's like. It's just how much it's going to cost you to borrow it. So we got cars. You know, we got not new cars, used cars. And we paid on them. And you know what? We never missed a payment. They were late sometimes, especially our Newman's card. Because it was full up. We went to the shop for it, and they'd say, no, you can't have any more OP t-shirts. You have to be 80s child to even know what that is. But we would get our cars and we would make payments on them. And we were still there making payments. We were making house payment. We were making car payments. We had gotten to the place where we said, you know what, we're not going to have credit cards and things like that. And we began paying those off. They went on our vision list. And we began paying those off. Amen? You guys look at me like you're surprised. I could tell you a lie and say, you know, we have followed God, and he just pays all our stuff off, and we've never done anything wrong. We've never made a bad move. We've listened to him all of our life, straight as a string. God's got nothing against us, man. We've done it all good. Or I could tell you the truth, and I could say we learned the hard way, when we could have learned the easy way. And we did some things we shouldn't have done. But God met us where our faith was. And we did have faith that he would sustain us and keep us and get us to the place where we could make a payment on these things. And we did make payments, and we got to the place to where we could, we looked at the school and we said, okay, can you break it down? What was it, in quarters?
Quarters.
Break it down in quarters for us, and we'll pay you quarterly. And they did it. It actually wasn't something they do all the time either, I don't think. It didn't seem natural, because when they called us about it, it didn't seem like anybody else was doing it. Right? They'd say, you owe this money. We don't know how you did this. Because it just didn't seem like it was. But God gave us favor. Why? Because we believed we could do that. And it wasn't cheap. It wasn't cheap. It was like $30,000 a semester. So it was high. Let's put it that way. It was high. It's higher today, I know, but it was high. For that day and time, it was high. Amen? Right?
Grad school
is more. That's right. Grad school is even more. And so we began to make the quarterly payments. And you know what? Somebody came along after we got our faith out there, and they paid the first two quarters. Paid the first two quarters. We're like, oh my gosh, we'd never received anything like that. What's he doing? He's working with the faith we have. And he's taking us to a higher faith, to a greater faith. Amen? And he's working with it. And so we got that, and then they realized that next quarter comes up, and we're like, wow, we got this. We didn't get an extra job. We didn't get less bills. But what? God's helping us. We don't know how that money came. It just kept coming in. It just kept coming in. And it did the same thing year or quarter after quarter after quarter. And the next thing you know, she's graduating college after 4 years and has no debt. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. That's the Lord. It had nothing to do with us except for we followed. Our part was to listen and to believe with all we had, and what we knew was possible is he could get us enough money to make those payments. You know, there's people not living in houses right now because they're waiting to have enough to buy a whole house. I'm going to leave with that. You're buying somebody else's house for them. I'm going to leave it at that. But after 4 years of college, we were to the place where she graduated. She says, but you know, I got to go to 2 years of grad school to do what I want. And then we find out the price of grad school. We're like, wow. But guess what? We had already killed the lion. We had already defeated the bear. Right? And the giant wasn't going to scare us off now. We didn't look twice at why. It was already possible. Our hearts were ready. Our faith was there. He had gotten us to this place. And we did it. What were you saying?
That's it. It's already been done.
It's already been done. We'd already been here. It was just a bigger bear. Right? It was just a larger thing. And we knew that we could get through this. And you know, by the time it was all said and done, it was $180,000 in 6 years. Well, we didn't have an extra job that brought that in. Glory to God. Guess what? God's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. People say, well, my kid's already about to go to college. Start believing now. He'll help you. He'll help you. And if they do have to get some debt, he'll help them pay that off. Amen? If that's what they're supposed to do, make sure you let them be led. You know, if you start telling them they're going to go do whatever they want, guess what? They're 18. People say, I'll tell them what to do until they're 25 if I want. You can, but they don't have to. Besides that, they need to learn how to be led for themselves. Amen? She made wise decisions. She decided on the college she went to. We didn't. It was the right one. It was the one we wanted. I didn't manipulate. I didn't push. She didn't either. We just believed God that her heart would see it. And it did, and she chose the right school. Amen? Good Baptist college. It was a good college. We'll say, Baptist, how'd that go along with her belief? They believe Jesus is Lord just like we do. Amen? Right? They get out of bed, and guess what? One foot hits the floor, another one hits the floor, and they're still saved. Amen? Glory to God. It's good she went there. Had a lot of friends, gained a lot of friends, grew in Christ. Why? Because she was at the place she needed to be. She was right where she needed to be. You know, some people put their kids where they think they should be, and that's not where God said they should be. Just because you think that, usually parents, if you're anything like me, you look for the safest choice, and then you say, that's God. And guess what? That's not. The safest choice is not always God. God's choice is God. That's God. God's choice is God. The end. People say, well, no, they should go where I went. No, they shouldn't. They should go where they're supposed to go. I'm getting in trouble now. That's all right. Maybe it'll help somebody. Glory to God. But what I'm wanting you to see is how God took where we were. What you can only participate. You can only participate from where you are. And he took where we are and he grew us. He grew us and he grew us and he grew us. And then it wasn't long after she graduated college, paid off cars. I didn't even know something existed. I had never seen a real title. You know, only one I'd ever seen was one where they got the lender's name on it too. Right? And I thought, man, that is cool. I got real titles to real cars and I don't have to make a car payment anymore. Glory to God. And people say, well, you should have went there a long time ago. I went there as I could. Amen? Why? Because I'm defeating the lions and the bears that are in front of me. I'm not looking at the ones that are way out here. I can only deal with the ones in front of me. Because why? That's what you got faith for. That's what you got faith for. And so we looked at it that way, and we got paid off cars. And you know what? Now we only have a house left to pay for. And it's going down.
That's right.
I didn't ever know growing up, first of all, that you could own a house, because we didn't own any houses. We rented them and moved out of them as fast as we rented them because we couldn't pay the rent on the one we were in. So we went and rented another one and moved into it. I went to the same high school for 4 years and lived in 6 different houses because we'd get kicked out. Well, you know, you'd pay as long as you could. When you couldn't pay, then they took your deposit and you moved on. Glory to God. But we always had a house to live in. But I didn't know that you could own a house that you didn't have to pay for. Why? Because I was where I was. This is where I grew up. I grew up where you had car payments forever and house payments for eternity. Right? I had somebody, I was actually talking to a guy. He's some kind of financial guy, and he said, when do you think you're going to retire? And I said, when I die. Because why? Because that's what you plan on. Right? When I leave the earth, then I'll retire. Why? Because do you need the money? No, I don't need the money. I don't want you to not work. Right? And besides that, he didn't realize what I did. What I do. Wow. I get to love on you guys and get love back. Can't get any better than that. Thank you, Lord. But you know, the point being is they look at your life as a whole and they're like, well, you did this. And, you know, even when I owned a business, you know, people say, well, that's the easy part. No, we carried all the tile to all the jobs. We took all the carpet. We unloaded it. We used to hate condos. Why? Because you had to take the tile one at a time, pack it up the stairs and put it in each room. Right? The ownership did not have its privileges. And you work night and day because why? You're like the rich young ruler. You're working for your money. Your trust, my trust, and the reason I wanted God to bless me is because I felt like I could trust if I had enough money, I could have peace. If I just had enough money, I could have peace. And what I didn't realize is what I found out later. When I found God, I had peace and I didn't need any money. But yet money came. Glory to God. Why? Because finding God and being excited about His things, that's where the blessing is that makes rich. Amen? That's where the blessing is, where He can begin to pour into your life as you're following Him. Why? Because goodness and mercy are following you, and He's leading you. You are in the best position you could ever be in. Glory to God. You're covered on all sides, and a good God is helping you. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Don't know where we were, but here we are. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 17. We're talking about all things being possible. And when we're in faith, what we're in faith for becomes possible. We were in faith that we could make payments on Ramsey's College. And that became possible. We didn't wonder where it was. We just knew every month somehow it would be there. I didn't plan it. It just happened. You know, the money was there. I'm not saying that we made or people gave to us all the time. They didn't. We didn't tell everybody. Well, we just want you to know, in case you ever want to give to us, that we now have to pay for Ramsey's College. So we're, you know, if it's on your heart tomorrow, then I don't want to tell you it's $3,000, but, you know, if $3,000 came up, that's probably God. We didn't tell anybody. The Moores knew because they were getting faith with us. But we didn't go around telling a bunch of people. And the Moores didn't pay her college bill. Why not? I can't believe they didn't now that I think about it. I thought they loved us. You know who paid her college bill? God did. And it was the bear in front of us, and we defeated that bear. Amen? And step by step, when the cancer treatments come in, there's the giant. There's the giant. The giant's not something you expect, but it's standing before you. And when it's standing before you, that's when you gotta have faith, and you gotta know where your faith is. It's not time to guess. It's not time to hope. It's not time to say, well, this is what we want to believe. It's time to find out where you're at and be right at that spot and start right there. Amen? Glory to God. What did I say? Matthew 17, verse 20. The disciples had come down. They couldn't cast a demon out of a boy. Jesus came down. He cast the demon out of the boy. And then they asked him, he said, why couldn't we do it? And he said, because of your unbelief. Literally what he said right there is because you didn't think it was possible. It was bigger than you thought I could do. God could do. What'd they do? They made it bigger than it was. Unbelief always looks at the size of the giant, not the size of their God. Not the faithfulness of their Father. Amen? And he says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, what's he saying? If you have faith like that, you'll say something. He's not saying what you should. He's saying if you have faith, you will say. Because that's what he said. He said, if you have faith, you shall say. Because if you have faith, you will. If you have faith, you'll do something. You'll say something. You'll say to the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And then it says, and nothing shall be impossible. And what's he saying? He's saying, when you say that in your heart, it won't seem impossible. Before you say it, it will not seem impossible. Glory to God. Why? Because you're expecting it to move. It seems completely possible. Nothing is impossible to you when you're in faith. When you're in faith, all things become possible. You look at that and you, I remember when they were said, well, we're going to build this building and we're going to be in it in 6 weeks. We're going to have, that's what it was, 6 weeks. So we're going to have the meeting here. Week of increase. I'm going greater faith, week of increase. We're going to have week of increase here. And I thought, that's impossible. Now, thank God, they were not counting on my faith at that point. Because I looked at the building before we bought it, during purchase, and after we bought it. And I had been around building. And I said, and instead of saying anything, I just got mad. People said, what? Yeah, I got it. I could lie to you. So you know what? When they said it, I just hooked right up with them, and there we went. Boom. No, I got mad. Why? Because I'm going to have to work day and night, and I still don't think we can do it. No faith whatsoever. No faith whatsoever. And why not? Because we had already done it once, and I was there. I walked into the other building before it was ever fixed. And we fixed it in 6 weeks and had Resurrection Sunday there. Glory to God. The Lord helped us. So I had seen it. But I guess I just didn't want to do this one. And so I got offended. And I got upset. And Mrs. About half a week into it, Mrs. Moore calls me up to the makeshift office because there were nothing working in this place. And she says, "You're no help to me at all right now." And she wasn't talking about physical help. She's talking about what? Spiritual help. We're fighting a lion. We're fighting a bear. We're fighting a giant here. And you're making it harder. You're pulling against me. I'm one of the soldiers hiding in the rocks. Well, I hope it can happen, but I hope it ain't me that's got to make it happen. Right? And that hurt me, actually. Actually made me cry. And because why? Because I knew better. Why? Because I was there the first time. And I was making it harder on the Moors to do what God called them to do. Amen? You know how long it took me to adjust? After her, about halfway through her second sentence, "Are you going to help me or not?" And that's when I adjusted. I said, "Absolutely," and I apologized. And I got my big boy pants on. And I said, "Let's go do this." And glory to God. We did have a week of increase in here. And it was a good week of increase. We were really tired, and it was well worth it. But what? You also need to use the faith you have where you're at, and I didn't want to. Amen? I wanted somebody else to do it or not to do it at all. Could I talk you out of it? Right? Why don't we wait until next year, week of increase? We might be able to have it done by then. Right? That's not what God told them. We're either going to be a helper of somebody's faith or we're not going to be. We're going to be, it's possible. And when they said that, as my leaders and as people I respected and honored over me, I should have said, if God's given them that, it's possible. And that's what I should say. And that's what we should say anytime. If something comes up in front of you, then by faith, it's possible for you to overcome it. Amen? And we need to keep that it's possible in us. We need to keep that faith to where everything is possible. Everything that we do is overcoming. Everything, everywhere we go, we are overcoming the next step. It's step by step. Why? Because you're growing and you're trusting. And as you grow, your trust in the Lord, the trust that you gained by fighting the lion and the bear, and now that trust is greater, and there's the giant. And that trust didn't wane even a little bit. Why? Because all you can see is it's possible. All you can see is I fought the lion, I fought the bear, and this giant will be nothing. Why? Because it's possible. But it has to remain possible. We can't be talked out of it. We can't look to our own flesh. That's what Peter was doing. He's like, "Wait a second, I can't do this." And the devil's like, "Yeah, look at the wind. Look at the waves." Well, you can't, as Brother Copeland says, you can't walk on it when it's completely clear, right? And flat. You can't walk on water. It's not possible. So once you're walking on the water, stay focused. Keep following. Keep looking. Be where you're at. Don't try to go where you're not. And start from that place and believe God to get you to the next place. Amen? Believe God to get you to the next place. Don't try to go from here to there because you can't get there from here. You got to step. You know what? Right now, I can't get to Jim from right here unless I walk. Right? I'm going to have to take steps. And that's what faith is. If you're going to get overcome, if you're going to get through, you're going to take steps of faith and you're going to start there to get to here. You can't come over here and say, "Well, no, I want to start here." It's too late because you were already there. Right? Steps of faith are what you have to do. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he loved the rich young ruler. But we still have to do something. We still have to do something. That rich young ruler trusted in money, so he could not trust God. We cannot let our trust get in things that are impossible. We got to keep our trust in the possible God. Amen? And we got to keep him there. Glory to God. Jeremiah 17. We'll close. Whew. Thank you, Lord. It's helping us tonight.
Yes.
No, I don't go to Jeremiah 17. We're not going to close. We're going to close with Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Verse 12. Making the impossible possible. Go to 11 so the whole story makes sense. Or I can tell you about 11. Yeah. He said unto them, that they asked, should you heal on the Sabbath? Of course, that was their biggest thing. Should you heal on the Sabbath? He says, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? And then love comes up. See, when I look at the Bible, I see the love of God. And he said, how much then is this man better than a sheep? What's he saying? He's saying, you're valuable. That man's standing right in front of him. He says, you're valuable. God loves you. Well, that's knowing God loves you is the first step to trusting Him. Nobody trusts anybody that don't love them. And when you do, you usually get taken. Amen? But when you know somebody loves you, you trust them. And that's why I talk about love so much, because we have to know. We have to know that we know that we know that God loves us. He won't forsake us. He won't quit us. He'll never leave us. He's always for us. But we also have to know we have a part. We have a part. The prodigal son, dad never chased him down, but he never quit loving him. Never quit loving him. Never quit believing he'd come back. He was sitting there waiting on him when he did. Amen? Back to these verses. How much better is this man than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well. It's lawful to do good, you know when? Anytime. There is never a time where good's not in fashion. Amen? And Jesus said it's lawful on the Sabbath to do good. Verse 13. And he said to the man, he gave him a directive. And the man, what was not possible, why would he tell him to do something he could not do? It's not possible to stretch forth your hand when you have a withered hand. If you haven't listened to Faith School, where Brother Moore talks about this part, you should, and then listen to it again about five more times. But Jesus said, I want you to do the impossible. And this man already had faith because he saw the love, and faith works by love. So he had faith, and he trusted what Jesus said. How do I know he trusted? Because he went like this. He couldn't do that. It wasn't like God took it. See, people are waiting for God to do it, take his hand and push it forward. No, it says he stretched forth his hand. He stretched it forth. He did the impossible. That's where faith takes us. It takes us to where the impossible is now possible. What we couldn't do, we can do. And that day, he couldn't stretch forth his hand until Jesus said, stretch it forth, and he believed. And because he believed, it became possible. And before he stretched it out, it was already possible. Stretching it out didn't make it possible. He stretched it out because it was possible. Faith makes things possible. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. He's helping us. He makes it possible to pay school debts. He makes it possible to take care of your family. He makes it possible to do good things. He makes it possible for us to walk and live and have life and have it abundantly. He makes it possible. But it's not just about quoting your verses. You do want to quote your verses. You want to have the word in your heart. But the reason you want to have it in your heart is so when the giant comes, he'll quicken it to you. He'll quicken it to you. And when the giant's standing there, you'll say, oh, no. I got a word that says you have no power over the armies of Israel. Our God is God. And you'll stand up in the face of anything. Why? Because you have faith in the God you trust. Glory to God. Glory to God. You got a song for us?